I'm excited about this series. Pastor Kathy and I have been talking about it for months, and so we were going to start it last week. And I thought, you know, it's some things that God wanted to say last week. It was powerful. So many of you have talked to me about how it ministered to you, and so I appreciate that. And if you're like, "Whoa, I missed it," well, you can go to fwcpo.org. All the messages are archived. You can listen to it. And Mary, you know, they sang that song today. I didn't realize it was going to tie in so well with what, because really this message was supposed to be done last week. Because, you know, what we're going to do is, it's called Gladiators. And so we're going to be, it's based upon the Heroes of Faith, the Heroes Hall of Faith that takes place, you know, names a bunch of individuals throughout the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11. And so, you know, and we're going to talk about their failures and successes, you know, from Abel talks, you know, the passage of scripture. It really is just a 3-4-5 minute read. I encourage you to go when you go home, you know, take that time and just read it. So, you know, as you talk about different individuals from this, this chapter, this, hall of faith, just a few minutes, talking about their failures and successes from Abel to Moses to Abraham, and it just continues to go on. And then we're gonna study this out and for a couple purposes. You know, number one, I think this is real important when it comes to the Bible, is because a lot of times, it's fun to learn about the Bible. It's not trigonometry. I mean, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand, I don't like math. You know, I didn't like math in school. Maybe you did, you know. You know, I was more history. I liked history. And but you know, it's fun to learn about the Bible. And, you know, and I hope that over the next, you know, few weeks that, you know, you can, we can give you some things that about the Bible that maybe you didn't know before you came to church. You know, making it even easier for you and even more interesting to learn more about the Bible. And secondly, you know, we have the opportunity to learn and grab from these individuals a life lesson, you know, based upon what our theme and our verse will be. And so we're gonna read that theme in verse for a second, but let's just go to the Father in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, that you're so good. You've done so many wonderful things. And as we open up your word this morning and we learn about, you know, just taking and talking about, you know, different individuals from this hall of faith, Heroes Hall of Faith that's found in Hebrews chapter 11. We thank you, Father God, that there'll be just some illumination that takes place and that we'll be able to see things that maybe we never saw before and learn things to cause us to grow stronger with you in our relationship with you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. So after Hebrews chapter 11, you know, talks about the hall of, you know, the, you know, Heroes Hall of Faith. You know, Bible talks, it goes right over into chapter 12. And just to remind everybody that when there aren't any chapter divisions in the original manuscripts. And so it's really, when we go into chapter 12, it's a continual thought. You know, even though there's a chapter that tells us that, okay, there's difference here, there's 11 and 12, but there aren't any chapter divisions in the original manuscripts. And so, you know, literally, Hebrews chapter 12 is a continual thought. And of course, we know that because if you look, if you turn, put up Hebrews chapter 12, turn your Bibles, verse 1, this is going to be our text. This is going to be where, you know, all these heroes, these gladiators that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, that this is where we're going to base this from. That and we see, if you look at that first word is therefore. And when you see that word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. And so, that was a little shameless joke, sorry. So, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off a great crowd of witnesses. You know, the Bible's talking about here that there are these heroes of faith, that they're a part of this great cloud of witnesses. They're a part of this heavenly grandstand that is there in heaven. And it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the Bible's saying, see, you know, this heavenly grandstand, that all these heroes, you know, because it's one continuous thought, that they're there cheering us on. They're cheering you on. Can you imagine Moses saying, you know, come on, Pete, you can do it. Come on, Young, you could do it. You know, come on, Frank, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it, Michael. You know, there's heroes of faith. And I really believe that if those heroes of faith are out there, up there, and they're in the heavenly grandstand cheering us on, maybe I would even think that our loved ones that have gone on ahead are up there too, cheering us on as well. You know, I often take a little bit, I smile on the inside when I have the opportunity to pray and lead somebody to the Lord. Because, you know, my dad's been gone for about, Jules is 15 now, we're going to be 16. He'll be 16 years in December. And, you know, my personal testimony, he was very integral in my life, you know, and some of the things, we're really integral in being here in Florida. And when I get to pray with somebody and they receive Jesus, and there's this, not the reason why I do it, but I do it because I love people, and God asks, you know, God says, go out, and you know, but I when I walk away, I'm reminded that the Bible says that when one person comes to know Christ, receives Jesus, that all of heaven rejoices. So if all of heaven rejoices, my dad's rejoicing. And I would think, you know what? Even in heaven, he still knows that I'm serving God. And that means something to me. And so, but, you know, having that crowd cheer you, you know, cheer you on. I don't know if you ever played sports before. I played baseball for 9 years. And, you know, I remember games where, you know, it was down. You know, you're talking about parents, okay? Parents is, you know, baseball parents. Praise the Lord, right? And it's just like, I remember those playoff games. I remember those games where it was close. I remember, you know, you hear, you know, the side, you know, just, you know, screaming and yelling and cheering, and you're trying to start that rally, and you're wanting the game's tied, and you're hearing that collective. It can positively affect you. I mean, it really can. I mean, you see, I mean, there's a whole concept and a thought pattern of the in football is that, you know, the 12th man, you know, there's 11 football players on the field, but that 12th man is the home crowd, the home stadium, and they can make a difference, you know, and it causes, you know, those athletes to do things, you know, that adrenaline, the pump, that to be excited, to go on, to keep going, not to give up. And so, you know, the thought pattern is amazing to have that, but one of the negative things is when you get that crowd going, it's hard to hear an individual in that crowd. It's, you know, and so the thought pattern with this series is actually taking one of those individuals from the Heroes Hall of Faith and you know, just taking them and, like, what would they say to us now? What would they say? What would they encourage us? What would they cheer us on about? And so the first one that we're going to be pulling from, you know, from the grandstands, the heavenly grandstand from Hebrews chapter 11 is going to be Samson. Yeah, that's what I said. And when we were praying this out, like, wow, Samson is going to be the first one. Samson was one of the first of the judges that's mentioned in the Hall of Faith. Now, I got to admit, when you're reading through those names in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, I'm super surprised, you know, a couple of those names. You know, but I would say Samson would be one of those individuals I was surprised at. And the reason is because Samson lived kind of like a miserable life. He got his life wrong a lot of the time. He did a few things well, but had, and he had an anointing in his life. He was called to be a leader. He had the presence of God on his life. But Samson was full of dishonesty. He was disobedient to his parents. Hung around the wrong people. You know, got caught up with a girl named Delilah, which we all know Delilah, right? Praise the Lord. We've all met a Delilah in our life, right? I mean, right? You know, You don't have to say amen too loud, but, you know, he ends up sharing a secret sauce, you know, of his strength with her. You know, she cuts his hair off while he's sleeping, and then he gets caught, captured by the Philistines. You know, then they basically gouge his eyes out. Seriously, not spiritually. this is naturally. They gouge his eyes out with a knife, and they hook him up to what you hook up oxen to. And ends up spending the rest of his life as a slave laborer in a grain mill. And Samson is in this hall of faith. How did that happen? I believe after really taking some time, I believe I know the answer. And at the end of this message, I'll share that answer with you. But we're going to pull him up from grandstands right now. And we're going to talk about, you know, what would he say that he was here, and if he was here, what would he say to us? What would he encourage us with? You know, and I believe that he very well may focus on the loss of his sight, because that's a really big deal. And so, and I would imagine he was encouraging us, saying that he was blind long before he lost his sight. You see everything clearly in your life, all on your own. You don't have to lose your eyes to be blind. That's what I believe church is. That's what I believe one of the benefits of church coming in, and you come in and you know, you hear a fresh perspective on life. You get encouragement. You know, I mean, that's the reason why I believe you came to church today. You hear what God's word has to say, and like, oh wow, I haven't seen it like that. I haven't seen it from that perspective before, and it really and you leave here changed. You leave here encouraged. You know, and that's what the power of God, the power of the Word of God does to us. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's Psalms 119. And, I'm going to ask you this morning just to really just open up as we just intro this series. Open up your heart and allow yourself to possibly see things and think in a way that you've never seen before. Allow God to show you. So, for instance, I think Samson would say this. I think he would say we could be blind to God's purpose for our life. That we can be blind to God's purpose for our life. Samson clearly was blind to God's purpose in his life. He had supernatural strength. God's supernatural strength. He had God's supernatural power. And he just tossed it to the wayside. I mean, from birth, the angel of the Lord went to him and told him, he told his mama that she was going to be pregnant and she was going to have a son. You know, it talks about in Judges chapter 13, verse 5. And if you, when it's you'll see it behind me. And she was told that, you know, she was going to become pregnant and she was going to have a son, and that whose head is never to be touched by a razor. You know, that was called a Nazarite vow. And there are three things that it included. One of them, that an individual's hair would never be cut, and you would be dedicated, you dedicate yourself to the Lord. And so it talks about it in Judges chapter 13, verse 5, that, you know, he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. I mean, there it was. You know, he was to be a leader, deliverer from the Philistines, and take him out. And see, Samson's call was to never have his eyes ripped out. I mean, naturally, his call was actually to defeat the Philistines for the sake of the Jewish nation, but he didn't follow that. If you're like me, you're asking why. And why? I mean, gosh, why? You know, I believe he never saw his calling clearly. He was blinded to that. You know, and being truthfully honest, and we're just like doing some teaching and talking about this, you know, that is something that honestly that I and Pastor Kathy very much are trying to stop each and every one of you from not realizing the call of God in your life, that you throw it away. It doesn't matter that that call is not just for a pastor or a preacher or a teacher. It's not for someone that's standing in the pulpit. Each and every one of us are called by God. Each and every one of us have a destiny. Each and every one of us have a purpose. I drill it all the time that you were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. You know, that it's not just set aside. That mentality is just not set aside for someone that's standing behind a pulpit. But, you know, each and every one of us, each and every one of you, have the call of God on your life. Because you know what? Bottom line is, when you realize that and you see it, right? When you see it, we make better choices for our lives. I make better choices. I make better choices because I know that I'm going to stand before you every single week. So I make better choices because of that. I've got a purpose, a focus. Because I have a sense of purpose. And you know what? That's where a lot of us are coming up short. Because we don't have that sense of purpose. We don't know. We don't see it. If you don't see it, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Okay? If you don't see it, well, guess what? Then your attitude is, and honestly, being truthful, when you don't see that you have a call of God in your life and don't follow after it, then your attitude is like, well, whatever happens, happens. It doesn't matter if I sin. It doesn't matter where I spend my money. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter where what job I take. It doesn't matter who I marry. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It matters. It absolutely matters. When I don't see God's vision for my life, I am in danger of settling for an early counterfeit. Say that again. When I don't see God's vision for our lives, that we are in danger of settling for an early counterfeit. I mean, that's why we work so hard to tell you guys to go to Grow. You know, that's why it's so important. I mean, Grow One talks about the church, right? And it talks about what we believe in. It talks about the history. But then 2, 3, and 4 gives you vision about who you are and how you were created so that you can go out and step into it. Go out and be used. And that's why it's so important. That's why we hammer it. Because, you know, some of us, you know, we think we know it all, but you don't. Because if you did, you would be walking things out for God more. Just being honest. Instead of just sitting there. But honestly, we really, really, really have to step into it. And that's why, you know, I mean, it's four Sundays. Not 40. Not 400. 44 Sundays at like 40 minutes each. That's it. That's all I'm asking. That's all I ask for. And yet there's some people that still say, I don't need to do it. And yet they're the ones that are lost in the wilderness. Amen. Just saying what it is. Samson wasn't just blind to God's purpose for his life, but blind to the power of relationships. He was blind to the power of relationships. Bad relationships are powerful in a bad way. Good relationships are good in a powerful way. Do not underestimate the power of relationships. You know, watch the part of the story in with Samson, and when he returned to his mother and father, he turned to Judges chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. You know, he said, he told his mother and father, I don't want to follow the laws, God's law, and keep my marriage within the Jewish race. And that wasn't, and understand, I've heard ministers talk about this, and it's totally wrong. It wasn't a racial thing, a racial act for God to have that law. It was based upon a point of purity. It was equivalent to like a New Testament, in the New Testament, where God says it's not good to be unequally yoked for a Christian, to be unequally yoked with a non-Christian. That's what it's equivalent to. It wasn't being restrictive, it was being protective. Amen. And that's a big difference. You know, and so, you know, Judges chapter 14, 2 and 3, they are telling him, you know, I've seen this Philistine woman. Ooh, and she's hot. He's like, now get her as my wife. And his father and mother probably, isn't there an acceptable woman? You know, can you have to? Don't do this. And then he disregarded what they said. He goes, get her for me. She's the right one. And Samson didn't heed the counsel and advice of people that knew better, that saw differently, that were outside of the situation, especially his parents. And he makes one, if not the biggest mistake of his life. And he would spend his entire lifetime after that being defined by his relationships. But then so are we. Our life reacts. We react to the people we hang around with. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You hang out with wrong people, guess what? You are going to have a mess. You hang out with the right people, you're going to have great and positive growth as a result of it in your life. It honestly is. And so, you know, that's why it's so, so, so important. You know, and it's important to honor your parents. It really, 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 really is. And so, you know, I know there's a few young people in here, and I'll just tell you, you know, a lot of times that we tend to think, I just want to encourage you that don't think that you know more than your parents. I'm just telling you, encouraging you right now, that's not the case. You do not know more than your parents. Your parents know more and have the experience. They are your life coach. God put them as your life coach, okay? Of all the people, he chose them to be your parents, and so they know more than you, so don't act like you know more than them, because that's exactly what Samson did, and he made one of the biggest decisions, bad decisions of his life. And so that we have to honor God. Honor God while we honor God through honoring what he says, and he says to honor your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth. You know, honestly, if you're like, okay, I've heard that before. Well, let me give you a quote specifically from a great philosopher and theologian by the name of Taylor Swift. When you're 15, someone tells you they love you, you're going to believe it. You're going to believe them. But they don't. They don't. I was 15 years old at one time, and I'm like, I told girls I love you. And I didn't. All I wanted was some sugar. That's all, you know. Just being honest. That's right, Miss Annie. I'm telling the truth. And so, you know what? We have to not be blind. Don't be blind when it comes to the power of relationships. And think that, you know what? I know better and I'm above it. No, we are not. That is a weakness. That is a challenge that we must make sure that we're on top of. And I'll say this, and I will say, and some individuals that are single again, you're not excluded either. Just because you've done things that maybe a 15-year-old haven't or shouldn't have, you know, and because you were married at one time, and now it's just so much easier to do it now. Wrong. Let's go on. You can, we'll move on to the next one. You can also be blind to the nature of God. What does that mean? Samson had supernatural strength beyond his own strength. I mean, he could just rip things apart. It pulled down stone pillars. And when he was with Delilah, she kept asking him for the source of his strength. And you know what? He got cocky. He got arrogant because he lied to her over and over again. And no matter how many times she tried to dog him out, he still fell for it. He would still go back to her and mess around with her, and then she'd try to get him again, and then he would still tell her, and you know, and this until finally he told her the truth. And you know, because every single time it's been Samson, the Philistines are upon us, he'd jump up and bam, he had his strength. But the one time, and then he did tell her that one time, he jumped up to do what he normally did because he got arrogant, he got cocky. And then bam, that's when they took him out. Sometimes we can use grace that way. Well, God forgives. We in the New Testament now. That's the Old Testament. We in the New Testament now. God's just love. He's love and he's grace. Absolutely, he's love and he's grace. Absolutely. Yes, he is. And you know what? The gifts and callings of God without repentance. I gave you some characteristics of Samson, of how he was. You're like, how could God still like anoint him, be blessed, you know, blessing him, you know, continue to have that strength? Because God will never, ever, ever go back on his word. Amen. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And so you know what? He's not going to take anything back because God is true to his word. He will stick to it no matter what. What happens is we don't stick to ours. That was what happened with Samson. What did he do? He got arrogant. He got cocky. And what did he do? Oh, I don't want to tell her. And he told her. And what happened? He had a razor to his head. He's the one that made that decision. He's the one that got out from the protection, God's hand of protection. Amen. It wasn't God. So that you really got to understand, grace is the same way. We can choose to continue to do our own thing. And there's that surfboard of grace. But sooner or later, that surfboard of grace runs out. Not because God doesn't love us. Not because God doesn't believe in us. Because we get so far out from his way. We get so far out from his protection. We get so far out from his hand of blessing that he can't do anything about it because he is bound to his word. Amen. To stick to it. Amen. We're the ones that do our own thing. Amen. So, you know, we can't just allow, grace and love and God. The gifts of calling of God without repentance. Amen. Yes. But we have to understand. We have to understand God's nature. And Samson was blind to it. God gives us a free will to choose. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We can learn some things. Some words of encouragement from Samson. I believe he would tell us, protect the presence of God in our lives. Cultivate it. Do whatever it takes to gain God's favor in our lives. And you say, how do I attract more of God's favor? It's very simple. It's his parents. It's the same thing that attracts you with your kids. Obedience. What makes a parent slap happy? Obedience. We're no different from God. Obedience draws out more of his favor. Not because you're more special than anybody else. You're just in right standing with him. Because what's the opposite of obedience? Disobedience. That ties God's hand. And so, it's true. Obedience. Some of you, being honest, just walk around in disobedience. And you know God is asking you to do stuff. Why is it so difficult to spend a minute praying every day? Why is it so difficult to spend a little bit of time reading the Bible every day? You don't have to read it all day. You don't have to, write an essay about it. You're just taking some time every day. Why is it some of us find it so difficult to be generous? Why is it so difficult for some of us to serve? A lot of us do. We have a great ratio that serves here at Family Worship, but no. Why is it that, and there's individuals that know what I'm talking about because you've been fighting it. You just are in disobedience. I'm purposely looking down because I don't want anyone to think I'm talking about them. I'm just, it's true. I'm just sharing what the Lord put on my heart to share. Because if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. Amen. It's not always just the cannolis and the tiramisu. I'm going to give you some broccoli. I'm going to give you some Brussels sprouts because you know what? It's going to make us strong, spiritually healthy. And that's what we want to do. And getting to a point where the church is spiritually healthy is not a destination. It's a constant journey. And true success is not reaching the goal attained, but it's maintaining the goal achieved. And so, how do you do it? You prioritize your relationship with God. I wonder why. The Bible says if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And if you're drawing near to God and he's not drawing near to you, maybe you should be drawing near to him his way and not your way. That is so good. That really is. The last one, as the music ministry comes up, another encouragement, word of advice that Samson would tell us would be, choose your relationships carefully. Amen. Now, I put this on there because I know a lot of people would be like, can you repeat that? Nurture the important relationships. Restore the broken relationships. Sever the harmful relationships. Initiate some meaningful relationships. Proverbs 13:20 specifically says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So yeah, I'm going to say it. Small groups, small groups, small groups, small groups. That's why small groups are so vital here at Family Worship Center. They are. I mean, we're like 3 weeks left of this final session of the year, and then they'll start back up in the spring. Those of you, you can go to fwcpl.org and actually sign up right now for leading a small group. But small groups are so vital for that companion, for that community. You know, instead of going out drinking with your buddies after work, go to a small group instead and see how much more benefit that would be in your life. Just being honest. Just because I love everybody. It's the truth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we know it. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see that day approaching, I'm telling you what, church, that day is approaching more and more. I used to hear it as a kid all the time. We're in the last of the last days. And those last days never showed up, being honest. But we are on the threshold of the last day starting. I'm seeing it more and more and more. I'm hearing it. Other pastors are that I talk to from all around the country are experiencing it. They're saying the same thing. And so remember I told you that at the beginning of the message that I didn't know why Samson was in the Hall of Fame, and I would tell you. And so the thing that I kept coming back to when I was thinking about that over and over and over again, that, why was he listed, in Hebrews 11? It basically was not known. It's not because of his success. The success in his life. But basically, it was how he finished. Some of us start so well, but end so poorly in things. I believe he was there as an example that failure is never final. Failure is never, ever final. I believe he's there because of how he finished. I've seen it in ministry so many times. People start off good, they're even in the middle, but they end poorly. The enemy steals our testimony. you know it. You know the story. You know, Samson was in that place, and he was hooked up, and then he found out that there was hundreds and hundreds of Philistines in that same temple in there, and he prayed God. You know, it talks about he prayed, this is the term. In Judges 16, verse 28, to Samson prayed, "The Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me once more." And you know the story. He got up between the two pillars, and God strengthened him once more. And the Bible says that day, because of Samson, he destroyed more Philistines in that one act in all of his life combined. He finished strong. Maybe not the way he was supposed to. And some of you need to be reminded and need to say, "God, strengthen me once more. Once more." Every head bowed, every eye closed.